Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of our heart, be pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Give us that receptive ear to listen to your voice. Be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may good to know that hopefully I will be preaching too long, you know, so because we got a cake waiting for us and the meeting as well. I was just thinking, as we're going to go in a few minutes time, talk about the church future and things, and I thought this passage comes to me in my head, is a building, a dwelling place for God. And I just thought, okay, I just was meditating over the last couple of weeks. I just, what is this dwelling place for God? Yesterday, one of our church members invited me to go see the AMK sports car in Braintree. Apparently, you invite every year and month that just go and see the sports cars, and you go whatever the sports car you got, especially with the MK Sports. And he tried to invite with me, just let's go and see this the show around those things. It's called MK Sports Car Place. And I went there. The reason I went there, not because I don't know anything about cars, but he said that it's a bacon butty afterwards, or during that time. So I just thought maybe it's a good time to go and have a bacon butty there as well. So I went with him there. The things that, as I went in, with the, because he had a little sports car. I mean, I don't know what his wife thinks of him, but I went with this person, and it was as soon as you arrived there, You could almost sense that this place belongs to men. Yeah, this is the place. It's like a big toys, you know. These cars, it's a big toys. You know, they come alive in that place. As I went in there, and they were welcoming, and the men are smiling. And not only that, I was shocked to see the men that wanted to talk to you. You know. This is one of the very few places men happily come and talk to you without having few pints. You know, they just smile at you. And they wanted to have a chat with you. Even though I don't know anything about the cars, but they just come and talk to me. And I said, I don't know much about this. But that's okay. We can talk to you. And they keep on. Even when you're standing on your own, they come and talk to you. And I thought, wow, this is the happy place. You know. And I haven't seen that many men smiling and laughing and chatting in the church. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? You'll be shocked, isn't it? If you come to church like that, if somebody, as soon as the people come into the entrance, they are looking for the exit door. What excuse can I give so that I can leave the church straight away so I don't have to talk to people? Sometimes it's normal. I think when I go to different church like that, sometimes I think like that. So like, okay, how do I... My exit plan, before I even come into that, my exit plan, how do I get away from that other door, and what excuse? And I got a good excuse. I got a children, you see. And I said, oh, I need to take my children. They are hungry. You know, I'm hungry generally. But yeah, they are the excuse. But here is the men. This is their happy place. And it's almost, I could call it, it is their dwelling place. It's the place where they come alive. Is a place where they share the common purpose. Everybody knows about what they're talking about, the cars. They all love the cars, their toy place. And I just thought, wow, maybe that might be the place where you may talking about this is a dwelling place. It's not about being merely existing. It's about you share the common purpose. You share and you come alive and share the joy with one another. And you want to be there. You want to be there in that place. And I just thought, okay, is that what Paul is talking about? This dwelling place for God. But people may say, but God is everywhere. Is God dwells only in this church? Is God exist only in this church? No, you could say God is everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere and everywhere he exists. You can't go under the sea. Oh, that's what psalmists say. You can't go anywhere, hide from God. He is everywhere. there's a little difference being God exists, but God dwells. Isn't it? There's a little difference. God dwells is the place where he freely moves around, where we share the common purpose. And that's what I believe, where God dwells, where we have that mutual relationship with him. It's a two-way relationship where God can dwell. And this is always the plan from the beginning when God created Adam and Eve and he created the Garden of Eden. And he's there, God came to dwell among them. Obviously, that relationship is broken because of the disobedience, and God was looking for them. God was shouting for them, and they're nowhere to be found because they were hiding. Yeah? And that dwelling, but since then, God has already had a plan. How do I restore? Is it my speaker making noise? Okay, that's fine. Since the beginning, that God has been asked, looking for that, redeem that dwelling place with you. Because that's what he wants. He wants to be with you and have that relationship with you. And his desire to dwell among people. So he started from the beginning, since that broken relationship. And that's why he showed a bit of example from the Exodus, where God redeemed the Israelites from Egypt. And okay, you can make a little tabernacle for me. And that's where you can set aside time. I can speak with you. And you can speak with me. That's a little thing that he started from there as a picture. And then it goes on. And then that little temporary tabernacle transformed into a temple when they inherited the promised land. And there, Solomon, obviously humbly and wisely asking the question like, God, you are the creator of heaven and earth. How could you live among in the building that I'm going to build for you? How could that possible? But what God is talking about is the place where you and me can have that mutual relationship. Because no bigger building is not going to be enough to hold God in that sense of what we believe his presence is there. But God likes to dwell among you when we share the common purpose. And then he's carrying on in that this is what John's gospel, he concludes that in a sense in the beginning from Genesis to the things when Jesus came, he says the word became flesh and dwell among us. He came to this earth so that he can show the way, so that he can dwell among you. Can you see? This is an intimate relationship that God wants to have with you. And that's why, so when God dwells with you, you can dwell with him. That's what the psalmist carry on saying, one thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's one thing that he wants. One thing I ask the Lord. This is the one thing that he wants so that he can dwell with the house of the Lord. And then Moses says in the Psalms as well, he says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You can see his desire to dwell among people is continuous throughout the things until even the revelation, if you look at it, he says, and I heard a voice, not just a voice, loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. They will be my people, his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. Can you see? From the Genesis to the Revelation, that is the mission for God to dwell with you. And we can get the glimpse of it in this church here. But the full glimpse is that we will experience that when we face to face with God. That we will dwell with him as he dwells with us. How wonderful is that? So what does that mean for us? That's what Paul trying to somehow picture it, what is the God's dwelling place will look like to the church in Ephesians. He tried to picture, he uses the analogy because he couldn't put the words into it. So he uses the analogy like, think about our human body parts, how they work together. And think about the plants that grow, vine and the branches, that you know the analogy that we use. How they work together, how he get the nutritions. And then he thinks about the building, the architect, how they hold it together, how we have the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone that we built upon it. So he uses these three main analogy to describe what is a God dwelling place will look like. And that's what I thought it might be. I want you to imagine. As we look at this Heavy Hill Methodist Church, is a God's dwelling place. What would be the people that who dwelling here, who come and attended here? What was that means that God wants to be dwell among you? And what is the effect it will make among us? In the scripture, in Ephesians, is a whole book. It talks about this picture. How does the God dwelling place is like? If you read, if you have a time, just read the whole book. It's only six chapters. That if you read that, you can see the journey it takes on to show what God's dwelling place look like. But here, he starts off like this. Remember. He starts off with like this. Remember how you were before. And I just thought that's something basic. And the something that the foundation of our Christian faith, right? We remember when we do the communion what God has done. Remembering is important things that God asks us to do. Because as a church, we need to be the people where we remember. We don't forget things, what God's faithfulness, what God has brought you out of. It's always remember. Remember. It's, that's what God reminded, even from the rescued the people from Egypt. He told them, remember once you were foreigners. Yeah? Once you were slaves. Once you were no God for you. Once you were hopeless. Once you were kind of, you're simply existing. But now, remember those things. Because that will affect the way we treat others. It breaks down the barriers, the walls of divisions. You know, there's lots of world leaders trying to build a wall in order to protect the people. But actually, here God says, I want to break the walls in order to protect you properly. Because there's a wall of divisions, even though we, in a good sense, we are trying to create, actually that's the stumbling block for us to grow and let God be the dwelling place among us. And that's what he says, remember. Once you remember who you were, it helps you to see how much you've been forgiven. And then we can live like a people that who have been forgiven. Because once you know you have been forgiven, you treat others differently again, don't we? And that's what we want to be, the church that we remember things, what God has done for us. That's what we've been trying as a church, share the God story and remember what God has done to you. How God has brought you out of this hopeless situation. And so that we will appreciate our forgiveness more. And when we do that, the way we worship will be different too. We no longer will worship like a lukewarm, very apathy way. We worship with the spirit and the truth will overflow. And we will want to cry out to the Lord. And our prayer becomes, is a heartbreaking prayer. Your prayer is like, Lord, please save the people that next door living with a hopeless situation. You'll get up in the middle of the night saying, Lord, if this person comes to my head and I can't go to sleep, please touch that person. Your heart will melt. That's what happens when God dwells among you. When you want to be the person who remembers God's faithfulness, then you'll think about the people who don't remember. We no longer think about worship as a theological concept. You know, we worship in a way we experience in our hearts, in our lives, and it's overflow. And when the people come into the building, they can see, they might not put the words into action. They'll say, you know what, I went into that building, I felt the presence of God, and I feel something changing in my heart, in my attitude. That's what we wanted to feel, right? So that people can experience the supernatural power and experience also the love that overflowing from us. There is no wall of division creating anything. When we do that, that's where God wants to dwell among you. And He wants to sit with you, have a cup of coffee with you. That's what God's dwelling place is like, having that intimate relationship. Our prayers become fervent. And the second thing, though, the place when you want God to dwell among us, the one thing these Ephesians keep on reminding us, remember what once what you were, and now so that we can move forward with it. And then the second thing he was talking about, again, if you read the whole chapter and the whole book, is sharing becomes our priority. If you want to be the church where God dwells among you freely, sharing it becomes our priority. If you look at the very first church, how it started in Acts, the very first thing they did is brought everything together, saying, let's share what we got. Yeah? We share things. Whatever the way that God is touching you, let's share it through the church and touch people's lives. And that is a part of our spiritual discipline. God has been teaching them from the beginning, like a tithing and doing things, whatever things, let's share. That becomes our priority. But not just sharing our food and our resources, but sharing the good news too. And that's also important because the very verse, it talks about the disciples shared everything, what they had, but also shared the good news about teaching the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. It always goes together. I don't like when the people say, oh, we likes to do this work, but we don't want to share the good news in our words, because then what's the point? It needs to go together. Because the disciples did. If you are going to be built upon this apostles' teaching and the disciples' teaching and Jesus is our cornerstone, then everything needs to reflect Jesus. It shouldn't be reflecting the minister. It shouldn't be reflecting on anything else. Even Haven Hill Methodist Church, it should be reflecting Jesus, everything that we do. Because Jesus is the cornerstone. So when we share, make sure that sharing is our priority. Food and everything that the people who are in need, we provide. But also, every opportunity when God gives you, share the love of God. And that's what the disciples, the very first disciples, did. They share the hope they had in Jesus. We only think about sharing about the food. Think about this. You need to go. You can't separate one way or another. Once you started to separate, we get it wrong. We need to go together. And you know what? Let me challenge you things. If you look out for it, God always provides an opportunity. You may say, oh, when the time comes, I will share the good news. God always provides the opportunity. Share the good news with your friends. Always, if you really open your eyes, He always gives a gap for you. Oh, here is a moment you can share the hope that you have in Jesus. Because that's our God. We don't merely exist. If God dwell among you, we dwell among with God. It's a coexistence. We live together. So we reflect our attitude. We reflect everything that we do. The love of Jesus overflows. I'm going to leave it with that. I'm talking more. Let that be a challenge for you. And even a blessing for you. Where are you as a church? Is our church A priority is sharing. We can ask ourselves, is there anywhere that we are lacking that need to be focused on? Or is our church very good at forgetting things? Maybe asking God, maybe it's a good time to remind ourselves, let's share God's story regularly. Here and in a coffee place. Even the littlest things, share. Let's be the people that who remember God's faithfulness. Then God will dwell among you more, and we can have a meal with him. That's what I like about in Revelation. He knocks on the door, and whoever welcomes me, I will be with the person, and they will have meal with me. And that's, I don't know what kind of meal is that going to be like. Definitely more than a cake there. And I'm looking forward to that. We never get hungry, but we just have a pleasure of being together with Jesus. And let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for reminding us what is your dwelling places look like. Because there's so much that we need to learn. Lord, we only can get what the glimpse of it, what's your kingdom of God is look like. And how is your dwelling place look like. But there's something, even the small things that are revealed through this scripture. Help us to be obedient. Let us not worry about the things that has not been revealed yet. But let us be obedient to your word that has been revealed to us. Who calling us to be the people that put sharing is our priority. Remembering is our priority. So that our attitudes, so that we can reflect you and we can imitate you. Jesus, you guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.